What's up, family? You are tuned into Law and Disorder, a podcast where we expose the cracks in our system, agitate for resistance, and collectively build a new world in which all of us can thrive. From KPFA Radio and the Pacifica Network, I'm your host, Kat Brooks.
On Wednesday, October 16th, Dr. Tiffany Willoughby-Herard, Associate Professor of Global and International Studies at University of California, Irvine, and an internationally recognized scholar, attended an arraignment hearing for herself and nine other faculty, students, and community members who are currently facing criminal charges following the police raid of UC Irvine's Palestine Solidarity encampment. On May 15th, 2024, here to discuss what happened, the charges, and how she's fighting back is Professor Tiffany Willoughby-Herard, tenured professor of African American Studies at UC Irvine. Good morning, Professor.
Good morning. I'm so grateful to be here today. I really appreciate you making time for us to talk about this.
Absolutely. Actually, for my listeners, sometimes I host the Black Lives Matter Global media briefing, and that's where I came across you. And we didn't have time for your whole story, and so I definitely wanted to bring you on the air. I think it's really important, particularly inside of a context where we've seen since folks have been returning to school this semester. Oh, wow, which is now almost over. There has been, right, so much. Professors losing their tenure, students getting kicked out of school. Yours is even a little more intense than that in terms of the potential consequences you were facing. Why don't you start at the beginning? Walk us through May 15th, 2024. What happened?
So on May 15th, the campus was encircled by hundreds of militarized riot police from over 20 law enforcement agencies who'd received a false report from the university that 200 people had taken over a building. Three people went into a building to hang banners, as had been done in the past. The building was empty. There was no instruction happening. So the campus was swatted by administrators here. After the riot police had arrested, detained, beaten, stomped out protesters, the university sent out an announcement correcting its own false report. It was a lawful gathering, and people were corralled, and 50 people were arrested. And I was one of those who were harmed that day. I was there to support students who were adamant that we must pay attention and divest from the ongoing genocide in Palestine. And just as a footnote, if you have watched the news in South Korea or Syria, just literally in the past hours, it is abundantly clear that people around the world are not willing to live under authoritarian regimes, and they will not forget, and they will not just give up their lives simply because somebody in power over them decides that they shouldn't have a life. There's a very vibrant history of people of conscience standing in solidarity against genocide, and an even more vibrant history of community members supporting student leaders. The encampment at UCI was not as long as most of them around the country. It really went on for only a few weeks. And what it speaks to is a desire by students to press the issue and to make sure that learning is happening on an important scale when the professors are quiet, when the university is quiet, when the most pressing issue of the time is being completely ignored. Students at the university took it upon themselves to teach themselves and to educate. And they took up space, a very small space in one tiny plaza on campus, where there were a lot of graduate students and faculty who were actually quite familiar and had been paying attention to what the United Nations had been saying, and paying attention to what the foreign policy magazines had been saying, and paying attention to what Amnesty International, all of the good organizations, the good liberal organizations, were saying about what was happening in Palestine. And they did what happens anytime there is a teach-in. They offered workshops and little mini seminars, and they created art and posters, and they invited community members in. I wasn't able to be present at the encampment like 99% of the time just because of my own work schedule and such. But the few times that I was there, what I observed was people well into their 80s who had never come onto any University of California campus for any reason before. I observed small children from the community, and it was like the encampment created a portal of access to people who pay for the university to do what it does, and yet whose family members are being wiped out. Some of the, my fellow arrestees include people who are Arab American social workers who provide care for really severely addicted, super pro-Zionist, very white supremacist, very racist people in Orange County. People among my cohort of arrestees were staff members, lecturers, undergraduate students who are from Palestine, whose family members are literally being wiped out. I believe in students, and I am being charged with resisting arrest and resisting a peace officer with a threat of violence. Here's the context. There's been over 3,200 people arrested. There are 440 cases still pending. There have been 120 formal charges. 180 people have taken a dismissal, and 33 cases have been sent to pretrial diversion. And what we're living through is an attempt to take university higher education, particularly at the public research universities where the consequences are so high for transforming poverty, discrimination, inequality, and just generalized state terror, transforming that into the basics of survivability in the state of California. We're watching that be transformed into a situation where the university is just going to be another site of criminality, just another site of criminality. And from my way of thinking, being afraid of a student-led learning experience for practicing democracy is pretty much like being afraid of the mission of the university itself. We can't ban people from learning. That's the same thing as trying to ban people from growing. And every single time police are brought onto campuses, whether it's Tuskegee University, University of Witwatersrand, Rhodes University, over a dozen universities in Ogun State, in Nigeria, University of Makerere, Kent State. Anytime police are brought in to respond to students' attempts to learn, what we do is undermine a sane society. And we broadcast to the world, we don't want sanity. We don't want healthy people. We don't want people to grow. Numerous folks from Jewish Voices for Peace have been adamant since October 7th about helping us understand how this is related to the rise of authoritarianism and fascism in this society. And it's not that it's not something that is ongoing all the time. What we have instead is a heightened moment of crisis. And that moment of crisis, if we don't fight back on it now, it's going to just continue to undermine everything. I was
Professor Hur, I
literally.
just, I'm just, I, okay, is that where you're going? Because I've got 5 minutes with you, and I really want you to get into what happened to you that day and the injuries that you walked away with.
Yeah, I was stomped out. I was stomped out by five officers. Obviously, I can't talk in great detail because I'm in the middle of multiple legal situations. But I was grabbed, forced down on the ground, and stomped out by five officers and in shock. And I was praying. And I actually have an affirmative obligation, like all University of California faculty members, to de-escalate. In fact, I am mandated to take de-escalation trainings. I'm not paid for that, but I am required to take them. And so my presence there was part of my affirmative obligation, and I was stomped out and dragged away. I have marks all over my body. I experience all kinds of trauma, everything from tremors to not being able to walk properly. I'm somebody who's known on this campus as leading Black women's walking groups for years, for years, for years. And I've had to spend the past 6 months just really learning how to walk again and how to drive again. I don't know that I'll ever be able to get on a plane again because of the level of pain and the cascade of just family collapse that has happened since that time. I've been doxxed. There are rape and death threats ongoing that happen pretty regularly. I'm constantly getting calls to my private phone numbers, and I have begged my campus for legal assistance and for plainclothes police assistance. And they send me links to forms that will not enable me to get any kind of help at all. In 2004, this campus banned the Muslim Student Union for trying to do a week of education. In 2010, this campus banned and kicked off of campus 11 students trying to educate about Palestine. And in 2024, this campus invited 300 officers arraigned in military gear to beat and stomp out bystanders who are required by the university as employees of the state of California. We are required to de-escalate. The presence, my presence there was literally mandated by my job. But that's not new, because my entire time as a Black woman in the University of California system, from all the way going back to a graduate student, I have had to fight to just be able to do my basic job. And I'm not willing to accept being called a criminal for saying that what's happening in Palestine is a genocide. I'm not going to consent to genocide. I'm not going to comply with genocide. I'm certainly not going to comply with being stomped out by other state employees who had to be invited to my workplace to stomp me out. I'm not going to make excuses for what happened to me. I'm not going to look away from what happened to me. And I'm not going to pretend that it didn't happen. It happened, and I live with the physical consequences. It should not have happened.
No, it should not have. Professor Tiffany Willoughby Herard, we'll be following your case. Thank you so much for coming on the show this morning.
I appreciate you very much. Be safe. Take care.
You too.
You've been listening to Law and Disorder, a podcast where we expose the cracks in our system, agitate for resistance, and collectively build a new world in which all of us can thrive. That's it for this episode, family. You can find more information about topics and guests in this episode's show notes. Law and Disorder is produced at KPFA. That's listener-supported radio on the Pacifica Network. The show is produced by Jesse Strauss and hosted by me, Kat Brooks. Our theme music was composed by Steve Raskin of Fort Knox 5. If you like what you heard, please follow us on social media at Law and Dis, that's D-I-S, and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. Feel free to holler at us about something you heard or send us a show idea at lawanddisorder@kpfa.org. You can also find our content live at 8 a.m. weekdays on KPFA. That's 94.1 FM in the Bay Area. Our show and all of KPFA's programs are funded exclusively by you, the listener. And if you're in a position to support us, please donate today at kpfa.org. Take care of yourself and take care of each other. We all we got, fam.